Next question. Who? Anybody want to hook up here? Yes. The what?
There's numerous dating books on the market today that are easily available. One of the books is Boundaries in Dating by Townsend and whoever it is. He says practice dating and set limits on different things. With what you're saying, how would you go about refining their model?
Well, I'd say self-control doesn't work in this area. If that's what they're saying, I'm saying it doesn't work. And wisdom is proved right by its children. Say, let's just do it like the world, but let's just set boundaries. Let's show self-control. If that's what they're saying, then I say, I'm sorry. It doesn't work. If it worked, we would be having this conversation. I'd be going, go for it. But it doesn't. Plus, I don't think it I don't know. I haven't read their book. I just say, I think that model, even dating, pulling apart and being selfish, really, takes away from the kingdom work. And all... You guys know how much energy relationships take, don't you? It just takes, especially when they're going off kilter, it just absorbs you. You wouldn't share the gospel with too many people that week, would you? And then when you break up and you have to face him across from the small group, you know, things are a little tense and you're not going to be thinking about those new people. Yeah, you can. I think it's just a swerver. I think it's not sin. I think if people want to, if they're going to do it, you should set limits for sure. Absolutely. But I'd say it's a swerver, and I think it takes away from the kingdom work, which I believe God wants to accomplish. I don't think you can accomplish it as well. Most people, anyway, wouldn't be able to show the self-control they need to. And it, if nothing else, it absorbs their time. Sucks it right up. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, I pray that you stay single so that you could be concentrated on the work of God. I think it's the same thing in dating. Stay apart from those relationships so you can be concentrate until God brings that person into your life. That's what I would say. Yeah.
What is your model or steps for an ideal relationship
in marriage? I forgot to repeat it. What are my, in this model, what are the steps for an ideal relationship
that ends in marriage?
Well, Derek and Amber would be able to speak to this for sure because they just got married 3 weeks ago now. Is it 3 weeks already? You guys are oldie goldies, man. Steps would be, again, I believe, the way I've seen this happen over and over, and I'm seeing it happen before my very eyes even these last few weeks, is that people, the first step one is focus on God. Step two is get involved in a small group and involved in people's lives. Men, be in discipling and accountability relationships with men. Women, be in accountability and discipling relationships with women. Focus on other people. Do not focus on just you and somebody else. That's a step. Focus on others. Pursue God and wait for God to whap you upside the head. That's step three. God whaps. God will make it clear. That's the way I've seen it. That's the way I've seen it happen. All of a sudden, there's this person on your mind that you've seen from a distance or in group settings, or you've been alone at because of group settings or whatever, church functions or whatever. You've had an opportunity to witness this person, and there's something that just... All of a sudden, you can't stop thinking about her. Step four, get counsel right away. Start talking to your spiritual leaders. Talk to people, not just talk to people. Go to people that will hold a trust. People that are in spiritual leadership over you. And talk to them. Me or your small group leader, say, you know, I'm kind of distracted by this person. I want to make sure I'm pure in this relationship. How would you suggest I go on? Or could I keep... you a prize of what I'm doing. I'm going to try not to be partial or favoritism or any of this stuff. Then I would say wait would be step five. Step six would be wait. Step seven would be wait. Step eight would be wait. And see what God does. See if God takes that, because we can get quivers in our livers and think we're in love, you know. Oftentimes we're in lust. And waiting will drive that out of us. All of a sudden, it's a passing thing. So if we jump on every... You know, every time we feel something moving in our gut, it's like, ooh, we got to be careful. So I say, wait. That'll weed it out. If you still have, they get stronger. Like with, you know, I think I could share this. Like with Steele, when I was counseling him about Kim for the last 2 years, I would get with him quite often. And I'd say, Steele, give me 1 to 10. Where are you at on your passion to want to talk to Kim? Although he wouldn't talk to her. Well, you know, it's about a 6 this week. Okay, well, that's good. He goes, I'm still, you know, I'm still attracted by her. but I'm not as distracted this week. Well, some weeks it was an 8, some was a 7. And then it, when it started beep, beep, you know, 10, 11, 12, then it's like, Steele, I think we need to do something about this, buddy. We need to set a date, and you got to talk to this girl. Find out if she's thinking the same thing, which she was. She was talking to people, getting counsel, not showing favoritism. These guys work together. And honestly, they look good together, but I never got the sense that they were being shown favoritism. And I know for a fact that they weren't, that Steele never asked her out. Steele never spent time alone with her in those 2 years on purpose. He never manipulated the situation once, not once. At the same time, Mary mentioned to me one day I was sitting with Steele at Rich's Bagels, and he was letting his heart out again about Kim. And I was listening and counseling him, just be strong and wait. And not an hour later, Kim was at our house talking to Mary about Steele. And so they waited, and they just let it germinate and let it grow. And if it was from God, they were going to trust him. They're going to keep pursuing God. And if it was from him, he would make the feelings increase. That's what I believe. The feelings will increase. And step 7 would be to finally have the guy go talk to her. And I know women that have gone and talked, and that sometimes that's appropriate because it's like, man, you cannot survive like this. You need to go talk because it's killing you. That doesn't happen very often. It's usually the guy that will go and say, I just want to pray about this. I've been attracted to you. I've been getting counsel. I'm just curious if you'd be willing to maybe pursue a relationship. If you think that might be something God would have, could you pray about that and get back with me? And that gives her a chance, especially if she hasn't thought about it. Kim's case, you guys don't mind me sharing this, right? Steele's not here. He doesn't mind. Kim's and Steele, they've been thinking about it together on parallel tracks. They were doing this the whole time. I knew it. Mary knew it. They didn't know it. We never let on. They were doing this, you know. So then he would approach her and say, would you pray about this? She's prayed about it for almost as long, 18 months. So she, I don't think they have to pray a lot, but some women are caught off guard like, what? You know, then they need time to process. They would have to process before they would give any affirmative answer. And I'm talking about just courting at this point. This would be where spending time alone would come in at that point. Not until that point where she comes back with an affirmative, says, yeah, I've been attracted to you too, and I think that would be a good thing to pursue the question of whether we should get married. And again, that's where I think it should go. If it doesn't go there, then what's the point of it? It's pure selfishness. If God has led you to the point where we should pursue this together, then that's where you can start spending some time together and finding out maybe this is what God wants. Maybe it's not what he wants. I don't know. And then if God keeps leading and you're finding out about each other, your dreams and desires and hopes and all those things, and you kind of go, I think we could be more effective together. Maybe we should do this. Well, would you marry me? Yes, I will. Boom. It's a done deal, and they live happily ever after. That's step 10. That is what I've seen. That's what happened with me. That's what happened with my brother-in-law, Phil Hahn, and his wife, Linda. So that's basically what happened with Derek and Amber. That's what's happened with Steele. I've seen that happen countless number of times where people have just said, I'm going to pursue you, God. I'm going to try to put blinders on to all these women and all these men and pursue you and let you bring me my spouse. That takes faith. That's a hard faith lesson. But honestly, I don't know what gives God more glory. And seeing somebody saved or seeing somebody like Amber and Derek or Kim and Steele, I don't know what gives God more glory. I know it doesn't give me any glory when we manipulate. And we force the situation. And then, honestly, how do you ever know if that was God's will? Because you forced it all the time. You were always out, dressed up in your best, and always giving flowers. And that's what, what is she attracted to? Is that the real you or not? I don't know. Did you manipulate it or not? I don't know. But I can tell you, these couples right here didn't manipulate. They did everything they could not to spend time and let God bring them together. And lo and behold, God did it. God's big enough to do that. So I think that was 10 steps. That was pretty good. And we should write that down and make a little booklet, pass it out to everybody. But I know that there's probably still a lot of questions, confusion about that. But that's basically how I see it, that it can happen and has happened. It doesn't. And here's the deal. It doesn't have to happen that way, by the way. Please don't misread me. It happens. God has lots of ways of making it happening. I'm just setting you a standard. You asked me with this model. There's other. It can happen, and it can happen really well other ways with self-control and other things. But in this model, I've seen it happen. There's a high degree of confidence that God is in this thing, and I think it is a glory to God. Okay, you understand that this is not the only way to do it. You guys, nod with me so you heard me. I'm not saying that. I'm saying this is a cart that I believe isn't a swerver. Okay? And I know some of you are itching and you're thinking, if I get up, I'm going to be embarrassed. If you need to go, get up and go. If you want to ask more questions, feel free to hang around. Okay? No more questions? What about a couple that comes into the church, like they're in a dating relationship, and they come in, unknowingly come to a situation where that model is not incorporated or encouraged in our church? So how do we handle that? That's a very good question. There will most likely be some tension. They will sense that, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's kind of like having our neighbor kids that stay up till midnight, and they kind of mock our kids for why don't you, or not mock, but just kind of wonder, well, what? You know, if they come spend the night at my house, they're going to go to bed at 8:30. Whoa. And that's the same thing. You come into this church, this is our standard. It doesn't mean that we judge or put pressure on those people. The pressure will be there. And the only pressure there is, it's not to not date again. It's to be pure. It's to be holy. It's to be a kingdom builder. So if they come in with the mindset of I want to build a kingdom, then I think they'll be fine. They can adapt to that. And they can keep their relationship pure. They can fall right in one sense, and still have a tremendous relationship with each other and also fit this model the best that they can. But the point is, you know, what does God want in their relationship? If God shows them some new things and says, you know, I always call people to purity. I mean, I counsel people all the time that are living together and want to get married. And I tell them, don't live together. Move out. Oh, how could you do that? Then he's going to have to, it's going to be hardship. And I don't care. Move out. Well, it's 6 months of the marriage. Move out. And do not sleep together or I won't marry you. Oh, Bill, that's so hard. What is hard about? Is that not in the Bible? If I don't have a standard that's up here, then who will? Oh, it's okay to sleep together and I'll marry you. No, I won't. Well, we've been sleeping together for 6 years. Stop. For the next 3 months, do not sleep together or I won't marry you. How's that? And move out. You shouldn't be living together. Well, the world does. I don't care. They may. We may not. You're in our house. This is the way we play. But we don't judge. We just say, here it is. You can take it or leave it. I don't want to pressure you. I don't want to make you feel bad. But this is what we do. We have a high standard. I'm not going to lower it for anybody. I'm not going to lower it to get...